Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast.
Depression edition.
Oh, I don't want to do this.
That was quite an exciting intro.
I just got all of my... I'm trying to channel my sadness into just pure energy, and it could just break me, to be honest. But welcome, everybody, to the Azerbaijan Grand Prix podcast. Katie's back with her periodic table mug.
Yeah, very nerdy, but there we go.
Was your holiday all right?
Yeah, it was good, thank you. Just nice to spend time away from my laptop. My dad got married, which was, I guess, nice. Probably shouldn't have put things in that order, maybe shuffle it around a bit. But yeah, it was good. And Baku Grand Prix, was able to watch that from a distance and not work, which was very strange. But I watched your Twitch watch along, and you guys were brilliant.
Wow.
So
look at that.
Oh,
thank you.
Drop that in convo already. So as Katie says, we are now doing all our watch alongs over on Twitch. So if you want to go follow us, link in the description. But yeah, we'll be doing practice live watch-alongs, quali watch-alongs, race watch-alongs. It was quite fun, wasn't it? Well, I say it was fun, Tommy, until about whenever Leclerc retired. But it was good fun.
It was.
So we're also joined by Team WTF1, who are watching this live. They've just had 10 minutes of very weird preamble before the podcast, but you get to see that if you're a member of Team WTF1. So go to wtf1.com/teamwtf1 if you want to get involved in these live podcasts. We do events as well. We've got a Discord and all sorts. So yeah, go check that out. And also, this podcast is once again sponsored by Elgato, our season-long partners, and making us almost sound like professionals with all this great equipment. But unfortunately, then we start speaking and then everyone realizes we're not. Anyway, moving swiftly on to some three-word race reviews. The Moving Bricks _YT, Baku failed us. Finn _Green_17, liked by Gasly. Why has everyone got underscores in their name? My _name_is_James_. My back hurts. And Addy _Pandu2303, how turn tables. Baku failed us. Oh, that's a bit harsh, I think. Slightly harsh. Of course, there was that amazing Gasly social media post that AlphaTauri did, which won social media team championship on the internet's best reactions. I don't know if James's back hurts, but Lewis's certainly does. And how the turntables, interesting. Right, okay, so shall we? I think we just get it out the way, okay? We just talk about it. I can then go off the podcast and you two can just have a chat for the rest of the pod. Does that sound okay?
Let's start the therapy, come on.
Okay, yeah, big therapy. Right, my three-word race review is Ferrari, my heart. Does it need any explanation? Does it really?
I mean, please explain.
Great. Well, of course, Leclerc gets pole again. Feels like he gets pole every Saturday, pretty much. He's had four poles in a row. Of course, Perez then did him off the line, and you're thinking, okay, all right, I'm a little bit upsetting, but potentially can get it back. And then I felt like Ferrari did a decent strategy and gave me hope again. And Leclerc was in the lead by about 13 odd seconds, of course, had slightly more worn hard tires, but at the same time, the dream was on. And then that shot, you would have seen it live on Twitch, as I mentioned, but we have also put the clip out there on social media if you haven't seen it. I'm not usually stunned for words. Tommy was the one leading what had gone on, because I was just in absolute disbelief that Leclerc's engine had gone. And I thought that Ferrari would mess it up at some point. Didn't think it would be this quick, because Leclerc was leading the championship by 34 points after Australia. We now leave Baku and he's 34 points behind. How? How have they done this so quickly to me?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm quite glad I wasn't on the watch long, to be honest, because I don't know if on Twitch you can swear like you can, like not on do on YouTube, but the amount of profanities that came out my mouth when I saw that shot of Leclerc in trouble, I thought, oh my God, Matt's going to die, because you were like on a minute delay and I was just constantly watching, waiting for it to come up on the Twitch. But yeah, the poor kid can't catch a break. That's the third consecutive race that the win has come away from him, and none of them are his fault either, which is also what's even more heartbreaking. That's a potential 75 points that he's lost out on in the last three races alone. And yeah, just so disappointing to know that he's lost another chance of a race win to help make the title fight more exciting. Obviously, it was an engine failure for Charles, brake by wire issue for Carlos. And after the race, Binotto said that Ferrari didn't really have any answers. But yeah, like, what was the person? Adi Pandu 2303 said how the tables have turned, or how the turntables, I get that little office reference, so that's very good. But yeah, the start of the season, obviously it was Red Bull which were the ones that were so unreliable, and Ferrari were scooting off into the sunset, and it looked like this could be their year. And then the cracks have started to show, and it's sort of almost been flipped up on its head. Red Bull still have a few issues here and there, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, what a terrible, another terrible weekend for Ferrari.
Frank's a Ferrari fan, he's seen enough. He's off. Yeah, bye. I should sit here, obviously. You know, I could quite easily be like, oh, haha, Leclerc's retired and Verstappen's won again. But it is a shame, because it has, not only did it rob us of an exciting race, it robbed us of it's probably not great for the championship. You could argue that it's now 2-2 with the kind of DNFs, if you like, with Leclerc and Verstappen, that they've both had their failures now. But it's still a shame for the title, because obviously we want to see them battling on track together. We don't want it just to come down to reliability from both of them. We want the action like we had in Saudi, where they're actually on track together and fighting. It looked like we might get that, but alas, no. And the fact that, like Katie said, three races in a row now, Spain failure, Monaco is the strategy, Baku failure. That's a damn lot of points that he's lost.
Cool. Thanks so much for that roundup, Tommy. That's made me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, I could get into... Well, actually, no, it's 2-2 for DNFs, but Leclerc's lost more potential points from the positions that he's DNF from. I'm not going to go down that route. He has.
A little bit.
Yeah,
some juicy points. A little bit. Not a lot, but a few, I'd say.
Probably about 14, I'd say, if I'm...
What were we saying then? So
Spain obviously DNF'd.
Spain DNF, he's definitely winning that.
Yeah. And he was maybe...
Imola's kind of lost himself a few points.
Imola was his,
but...
Yeah, that's fine.
But that race Baku, we'll never debate. Know. Yeah, Baku's up for debate. Max was definitely finishing second in Melbourne. I'll 100% agree with that. And then Bahrain, Leclerc's definitely probably winning, finishing. But yeah, it's not... Well, I don't know, you might have got... There was a safety car restart there, wasn't there? So
yeah, I'm glad it. That's fine. But anyway, so, yeah, it's still...
But you think how close the title would have been without them. Because then even if you're saying that Leclerc does have that, for if that's how you see things, 14 points, you know, get rid of all the DNS and those two are absolutely miles ahead, and it's pretty close. So yeah, it is a shame for the title. I can say that even with the cape in the background.
And your bloody onesie.
Yeah, the only reason you're being so modest about all of this is because you value your life, Tommy, because you know I'll come for you. Right, first question from Slapdash Driver. With Red Bull reliability issues looking to be solved, does this mean the championship is over? Oh, for God's sake. I mean, really? What is it, round eight? Have we had eight? Is that how many we've had now?
Yeah.
One, yeah, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yes. Is it over? Especially with Leclerc, needing to take a grid penalty for his engine and maybe another for a turbocharger. Yes, there are going to be penalties for probably, I'm going to say, every team at some point during the season. It's going to happen. Like, there's not a huge amount of allocated bits and bobs. And of course, with Leclerc having two failures, big ones, it's not going to help him at all for his allocation. So it's not over. I think, if anything, it shows how quickly it can change. And maybe this is just Ferrari copium. But, you know, I did mention that 34 points Leclerc was ahead, and now he's 34 points behind. DNFs can swing things very, very quickly. So it's not over by any stretch. I think if reliability now evens out and, you know, it's a straight fight, hopefully, for the rest of the season, Red Bull are definitely looking the stronger, both with their race pace looking a little bit better in Baku, and also their teammate pairing is stronger at the moment. Sainz is not there. I know he put on Twitter, oh, I what was it? He said something about I had the gap to save the tires. I was like, mate, you're 4.5 seconds back. Everyone's probably thinking of tires. So I think that as for teammate pairings, and that's not what we expected to say coming into this season, that Verstappen and Perez would be the more sort of level on performance compared to Leclerc and Sainz. But it's not over by any stretch. There's still plenty of drama, I am sure, to come. We still even haven't had a crash between Verstappen and Leclerc yet. We've got plenty of things to unfold, I'm sure. But yeah, it's not looking great for Ferrari right now, I will admit.
We have these questions after every single... even last year, wasn't it? And this is another thing. Think about last year. Was it after Austria where Verstappen had that 43-point lead and it was like, right, that's it. The Mercedes just focus on next year. Title's over. And then it would flip again. And then Hamilton would be leading and they're like, this is it. The title's over now. The Mercedes is a rocket ship. And
I'm pretty sure it was over for Verstappen, was it not? After his DNFs at the start of the year. He was miles behind.
The how the turntables race review is so true. After Australia, we were having exactly the same questions. Leclerc had an unbelievable lead. Verstappen was sixth in the championship after Australia. Because you mentioned he had a 34-point lead. That was a 34-point lead on Russell. it's mad. And everyone was saying that, you know, Leclerc, it's an uncatchable lead. The Red Bull's too unreliable. And then Grace was born.
A damning
stat, actually, that Alex Jakes, this cover your ears now, Matt, a damning stat that Alex Jakes mentioned on the coverage when Leclerc tied is since Melbourne, it's been an 80-point swing in the championship, which is crazy how much that has changed. But that just shows that it can flip the other way. So you can look at that as, oh, my word, Ferrari have bottled this, or you can look at it as, oh my word, look how quickly reliability can just flip it on its head. So yeah, it's definitely not over. I mean, this is me being a Verstappen fan that had to watch last year where probably could have easily won the title. And then, you know, maybe Sainz goes bowling in Hungary and it changes. There's so many things can happen over a season. There's 22 races. So enough of the it's over questions.
Until next week.
Week when it's another
Verstappen DNF. It's over again.
Yeah.
We'll put a ban on it. Yeah, I don't know, going back to this question, if Red Bull have necessarily solved their reliability issues. Obviously, they're not stopping midway through a race with a power unit issue or fuel-related dramas. I mean, Max still had DRS issues as recently as Spain. Sergio had engine problems in the final moments of qualifying this weekend. So, you know, there's still a little murmur of things that could go wrong. And I think especially with these new cars, we're going to be seeing quite a lot of reliability issues just as people get used to them and all that kind of stuff. So I don't think it's safe to say the Red Bull is completely bulletproof now. It's had a few hiccups at the start of the season, but in comparison to Ferrari recently, you know, at least they got both their cars over the line this weekend. So I guess that's a good thing in that side of things. But yeah, it's certainly not good for Ferrari. Could easily dent the confidence for the drivers if they're constantly thinking, oh my goodness, is my power unit going to blow up? Obviously, we saw so many retirements yesterday or on Sunday, whenever you're listening to this, with the Ferrari power units. I'm sure that's certainly setting off alarm bells in Ferrari HQ at the moment, because this isn't the first time we've seen these kind of issues. We saw it in Spain. We saw a little bit in Monaco. But yeah, we went from Red Bull being the unreliable team and Ferrari being strong. And that was kind of Ferrari's main advantage over the others. And now, as it says in here, I've written, the tables have turned. So for all we know, Red Bull could head to Canada this week and have an issue with their engines or their brakes, because the track is very strenuous on brakes. But we'll have to wait and see. I'm sure that will be clipped up if something does happen to Red Bull. But I think it's safe to say that no one is safe in terms of the reliability side of things at the moment. Nobody can say 100% that they are safe and secure.
Nobody's safe.
Apart from George Russell, apparently.
Yeah.
He just missed the top five, isn't he? Unbelievable. Yeah. Next question. Cali_Dreaming85. Is the only way to turn things around for Ferrari is to get Matty WTF1 in a Leclerc onesie?
I want to see it.
I don't. That is going to be so disturbing, no offense, Matt.
I mean, fair.
Like a full baby onesie.
All the offense taken. But yeah, it's... Look, if that's the way to turn it around, I will fully wear one. I'm not sure I'll fit into a baby grow, but, you know, maybe it'll be quite comfortable. And at least, be even if it doesn't work, I can just cry into it. But it is, yeah, it's quite something, quite an image I've got of myself in something like that. Any thoughts apart from that? I don't really think there's really probably anything you guys want to say on that matter.
Yeah. I guess the only thing is, I don't think you've quite clocked on, I don't think you actually know this, but that Verstappen onesie, so you know Sophie, who does our Team WTF1, Team WTF1, yes. Want to be aware of Sophie. She actually bought that onesie, and it's actually from WTF1 on the race. So technically, it's a gift from you all collectively. So Matt, that is part of, you've gifted that onesie. So do you feel? No,
absolutely not. In fact, I asked for your address not that long ago. I'm just saying something's arriving at some point, hopefully before Canada. So
no way.
Fingers crossed it comes before Canada. If not, it'll be after.
Either a Leclerc onesie or a threatening letter to say, burn it now.
Oh, yeah, it's nothing
through the window.
Yeah, it's nothing for Grace. It's just, yeah, just a brick through your window.
Yeah, I think it's actually time that, if anyone knows anyone at Red Bull, you mentioned it, that because I reckon she's got one race before she outgrows it. Is not going to last much longer. So I think Red Bull... Max Verstappen, who clearly watches this podcast, you know, I think I need some more merch, please. Thank you.
It's like proper baby grow merch. I mean, it's clearly working.
Well, he gave stuff to Checo when Checo had a baby. Exactly. So there must be stuff.
And Checo ended up winning the race after that, didn't he?
He did. He won in Monaco.
Yeah, there you go. It's the power of the Max. God. Max onesies just make things happen. So there you go.
Okay.
That's crazy. That is
weird. That's actually blown my mind.
One more race of pain and then hopefully Ferrari will come good because the curse will be lifted.
Yeah.
Right. Moving on from baby grows. Tommy, your three-word race review, please.
Mine is robbed of strategy. And I've seen a lot of people, you mentioned it in the very first three-word race review, but there are a lot of these that was like, Baku's rubbish. It's not delivered. People saying it was boring. I think it would have been a very good race if we'd have had Leclerc still in it. And it's the failure just robbed of us of an exciting race, because it would have been fascinating. You know, no doubt, Matt, you'll say that Leclerc would have won. I'll no doubt say Verstappen would have won. We'll never know. But I think it would have been really fascinating to see how it panned out, because Leclerc, I actually was with you on the watch on that. I thought it was a good strategy to get the pit stop out of the way. Tire deg, it's not known for being that much of an issue. And I think Verstappen would have caught him at the end on fresher tyres. Could he have passed? It was difficult in the start. It would have been fascinating. And I'm actually really gutted that that didn't play out. So I don't think you should judge Baku or anything like that. It's just a very unfortunate incident that, unfortunately, Leclerc, the DNF did kill the race, because there was a lot of excitement there with Perez, Leclerc, and Verstappen. And if anything, also Leclerc sort of getting out the way and having his stop helped Verstappen out even more, because it gave him a free run at Checo. So yeah, it's a shame, really. I really, really would have liked to have seen how that played out.
Yeah, it was finally poised, wasn't it? I was obviously looking forward to it as Leclerc was leading, but also knew that he was probably going to get caught. So, you know, there were two kind of routes they could have gone down, Ferrari. They could have tried to stay out on those hard tyres and prayed to God he could cling on. But also he could have gone for another pit stop, taken some really fresh tyres and then gone on the attack towards the end of the race. So, you know, we obviously both Red Bulls, didn't they? They pit under the VSC that came out maybe 15 laps before the race or something. So clearly they took that opportunity because they thought, well, the tyres might get a little bit on the worn side. So it could have been absolutely fascinating. But unfortunately, as you say, we were robbed. And yeah, I can understand why people go, oh, that was a boring race. But I thought the midfield was actually really good as well. There was a lot of overtakes, a lot of little dive bombs and things like that. And for overtakes side of things, for that, it was great. I think it's purely because the disappointment of everybody of, we're not going to get a fight for the lead, is that sort of overriding feeling, which I can understand. But yeah, it's not Baku's fault. It's Ferrari's fault.
More blame on Ferrari. Yeah, yes. No, I think it was certainly Interesting listening to Red Bull speak after the race as well. They said they would have pitted Checo at the same time as Leclerc, but they had communications issues because obviously both Red Bulls stayed out and everyone was thinking, oh my God, have Ferrari actually the master plan? Like, are they actually doing well with their strategy? And then it all tumbled down and fell apart. So yeah, a great shame, because I think, although we've seen crazy races in Baku before with whether that's collisions or, you know, we saw a few people go off into escape roads and stuff, but strategy was kind of the one thing that we could maybe rely on to provide us with a lot of entertainment. And then that kind of just all got obliterated. So yeah, I'm with you with your three-word race review, Tommy.
Lovely. Oh, we're all in agreement. That's great. Question from Team WTF1 member, Jack C96. Were you surprised that there weren't any full safety cars in the race? And was this the reason it wasn't as crazy as previous Baku races? I was a little bit surprised, firstly, because it's Baku. But secondly, there were a lot of mistakes in free practice. There was a lot of going down runoffs. I mean, Vettel could probably have brought out a safety car if it clattered the wall when he did that incredible spin turn, but he did not. And yeah, I was a little bit surprised for sure, because, as I said, there was a lot of mistakes out there on the run-up towards the race. And yeah, obviously safety cars are the things that spice up the race, but also on the flip side, we did have a VSC which spiced up the race, but then we were robbed of that, as we've mentioned in Tommy's three-word race review. So yeah, I'm not absolutely gutted that... not blaming Baku for everything that's gone on there. But yeah, certainly surprised. Could anything have been a safety car? Obviously, was it K-Mag grinded to a halt?
Yeah, nearly run himself over.
Which we thought, we're thinking, oh, maybe a safety car then. But no, they were reasonably well behaved.
They were. Yeah, I did think we were maybe due a dullish Baku race, because we've had so many races which have been like banger after banger after banger. And although last year, probably the first two thirds wasn't exactly the most thrilling race we've ever seen. Obviously the last third where it was chaos with Stroll having his tire issue, slamming into the wall and causing drama, and then Verstappen, and then the red flag and the two lap sprint and Hamilton going off and Checo winning and Seb on the podium. And like, it was just crazy end to last year. The actual first part of the race itself wasn't super exciting, but I also listened to, and I feel like I'm just plugging WTF1 stuff left, right and center today, but I was listening to the That Time When podcast episode from last week where you two were talking about Baku 2017 and what an absolute like colossal mess of excitement and scandal and drama it all was. And so that probably didn't help my expectations going into Sunday's race, because that was an exceptionally crazy race. But yeah, I mean, we didn't have any collisions in the race last year. Obviously, we had the two big impacts with the tyre failures and then a gearbox drama for Russell and a turbocharger issue for Ocon in 2021. But yeah, I suppose that's the only problem is with Baku now. It's just associated with these maybe crazy podium results or maybe teammates coming together, and it's got all of this big reputation to live up to. And just naturally, it's not going to happen 100% of the time. You're going to have to take a few little dullish races, because then this it just makes you appreciate. Fighting. Yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. True. I was thinking we might get some sort of like either a Red Bull crashing together until Christian Horner was like, no fighting, don't do it. Naughty, naughty. Or McLaren, but no.
So what you're saying is that Time When podcast, we should make them about boring races to set people's expectation low.
Totally.
So we'll just talk about...
talk about Baku France, this year, and be like, well, you know, Leclerc retired. Yeah. And then the next 25 laps, let me tell you about how boring they were.
Yeah. But Baku normally all the excitement and entertainment comes from, you get, I think a lot of races, even 2017, 2018, they aren't particularly exciting until you get that first safety car. And then the safety cars just breed more safety cars because everyone's close up. We know how crazy the straight is, but yeah, it was a surprise that we didn't see any safety cars at all.
Summer is approaching and it's time for you to prioritize the comfort of your crotch. That's why the kings of crotch comfort, Manscaped, have spent 2 years designing the most comfortable boxer briefs out there. I've had the honor of testing out these new boxers and I can say it's the softest fabric of any underwear. I think it's about time you invest in your family jewels. You can get 20% off plus free shipping by using the code WTF1 at manscaped.com. They have the best electric trimmer for below-the-waist grooming, called their Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer offers skin-safe technology designed to trim hair on loose skin. Outside of just ball trimming, they're also offering game-changing boxers. These boxers' features include a pouch lined with perforated performance fabric to keep them well-ventilated, the micro-model fabric, which is buttery soft and breathable, the tagless waistband hugs your body without digging in and it lays flat against your skin to reduce chafing, the front fly opening giving easy access and making bathroom breaks quick and efficient. You can choose from an arrangement of designs and colours and sizes ranging from small to 3XL for everybody out there. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code WTF1 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code WTF1 at manscaped.com. Next question, MT underscore Louis. 8 races so far, 2 decent, 6 poor to very poor. Fair to say, after 1/3 of a season, new rules have failed miserably to improve racing and shuffle the picking order. Swap Merck and Ferrari, that's it. Wow. Okay. Pop off. That's, I think, slightly savage, to be honest with you. I don't think that we've had 6 poor to very poor races. We've got a fight at the front between Red Bull and Ferrari. I think that, and I think I've mentioned this before, but last year was a ridiculous, exceptional, just out of anybody's imagination kind of season. That going into this season with F1 being like, yeah, the cars are going to be able to follow better and blah, 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 we're expecting the same, if not more, craziness, carnage, chaos, better racing. I do understand the frustration, and I did tweet this recently that, you know, I am a bit not upset, but it's, you know, it's a little bit annoying to see that there are still 2 teams miles ahead of everyone else, even though it is a swap of Mercedes and Ferrari. But the racing has improved; like, they can follow better, and it's not going to be an overnight process, these new regulations as well. I think we've got them till 2026, and then we get another brand new set of regulations, which, you know, F1 are just like, no, we're going to keep changing them. We're going to keep changing them. And then maybe one time we'll hit the sweet spot, when in reality, you maybe just need a set of regulations for quite a long time, and then F1 teams can get their heads around it. But no, I think that's unfair to say that we've had 6 poor, very poor races. I think they've been fascinating to watch, especially with Ferrari in the mix now. I would like the rest of the field to be closer, absolutely. But I don't think we can really have too much of a go on the actual regulations themselves. I think they have improved them, maybe not to the extent the percentages that we were promised on paper, but it's still a step forward, in my opinion.
I would argue that 2021 as well, you've got to think that was the last year of regulations, which, if you think about regulations, teams, the top teams reach a threshold and everyone slowly catches up. And if that's the last year and it was still like this person's alluding to, Mercedes and Red Bull basically locking out the podium every weekend, minus some DNFs, and win, they'd always be, you know, 40, 50 seconds ahead in the race. If this is the first year of new rules, when no one's had a chance to catch up yet, and it's the same, yes, it's a shame, but I'd be annoyed if this was the new rules in 6-7 years time. But you hope that other teams would start to catch up throughout the year. And people are maybe expecting too much as well, because we mentioned it earlier in the podcast that, you know, we've been robbed of quite a few Leclerc Verstappen battles now because of their own reliability. So if you imagine that we didn't have those, you know, we'd have had an amazing battle in Baku. We might have had a battle in Spain. You never know as well. Monaco's Monaco, however much I love it. And we'd be having a completely different conversation, because Leclerc and Verstappen would have been very similar on points, and they'd have just had another race for the victory, and we'd be going, oh, isn't it great that every weekend it's Leclerc versus Verstappen for victory, and it's really exciting. So I wouldn't judge it based on one not even one race. It's still only eight races into the season. And there have been some good races. And the midfield as well is even better than last year. And they can follow closer. So when the pack does close up, it gives me hope.
Hope is all we need, hey? but yeah, I would disagree in terms of the split. From memory, I think the first four races were good. Miami was a bit meh, but then I think that's also due to TV direction because there were 54 overtakes and I felt like I saw two. So there probably was, it probably was a great race if we actually saw half of it. And then Spain had some drama. I've literally put the same as you, Tommy. I've put Monaco, gonna Monaco. And then Baku wasn't thrilling, but it also didn't send me to sleep either. So I think you're right in saying we got pretty spoilt last year. And actually looking at data from the WTF1 podcast favorite, Catching One Thing on Reddit, or Catching Is One Thing on Reddit, I looked at the number of overtakes from 2022 compared to 2021, and they're pretty much identical, bar like one or two either way. So although the overtaking data might not be in F1's benefit, because you're like, well, you've designed these new cars to be overtaking 10,000 times during a race, and actually it's pretty much the same as last year. It's still early days. There might be circuits that we go to that maybe benefit it a bit more. People getting used to the cars, knowing what their limitations is, knowing how far they can push them. And also, you know, we've got new tyre compounds and stuff that have been added in, which might make things a little bit more challenging. So there's plenty of variables to it, but I don't think it's, they've been very poor. I think that's quite harsh.
I think that's very harsh. If, yeah. Also, one thing to add to that, if you think about all the good, like we were saying, 2021 was really exciting at the start, but at the end of the season is when it got really exciting, and you were like, oh my word, this is, you know, a battle of the ages. And I wouldn't judge a season by the start. We've still got quite a lot of races, and if you think about some of the races that we had last year, Silverstone, Hungary, Monza, they're all at the end of the season, so don't write it off so soon.
Because, 14 races to go.
Exactly.
14. We're a third of the way in.
Like, that's 14
like,
races.
That's like a whole calendar when I started watching F1.
Oh, yeah,
boomer.
That's
boomer
true.
Alert. Boomer
okay,
alert.
Grandpa.
Play the siren.
Go back to bed.
Yeah. Right. I've just been thinking about how what it would look like 10,000 overtakes in a race, to be fair, Katie, after what you said.
Too much.
About how much side-by-side action we need. And anyway, what's your three-word race review?
Mine is painful porpoising problems. Going for that alliteration. Hell yeah. So that's why I'm
for. Can tell you're an author.
Yes, thank you very much. So I've said, just when you thought the porpoising chat was over and some people claiming that they might have fixed it or solved it, No, enter Baku. Lewis Hamilton, I guess, is the one that was clearly suffering the most with his back after the session. He said he had trouble sleeping, but he's had some massages, some acupuncture, and ready to race in Canada, which some reports were saying, oh, you know, his back's so bad, he might not be able to compete next weekend. But he seems to think that he's going to be okay, which is good. Obviously, not a fan of a driver feeling so beaten up after taking part in a Grand Prix. That's not the kind of stories that you want to be reading. But he's not alone in feeling that way. Obviously, his seemed to be the more visible of the injuries, but Ricciardo was saying that he felt rattled, and Russell and Sainz have been complaining about these health and safety issues from the porpoising for absolutely ages since the season started. But yeah, Baku in particular, it just looked to be absolutely brutal. However, lots of talks have been had this week. Apparently it was like kind of one of the first times the drivers took it into their briefings that they have on a Friday to say, look, we need to have a solution to this. But we're going to talk about it in a moment. But some people are saying the FIA need to change the rules to stop the porpoising from happening. Whereas the reality is that not all drivers, not all teams are suffering from it. Alfa Romeo said they didn't have a single porpoising drama issue.
A single
weekend.
Bump. They were smooth sailing.
They're gliding along. It's just a shame they've got a power unit in the back that doesn't want to collaborate.
Whoa, come on.
Whoa. Well, it's true, though.
Katie.
Poor Zhou Guanyu. Poor Katie can't catch a break. But it's one of those things that, I mean, well, actually, I'm going to save it. We're going to save it for a question because I know that there's one coming up. So
Save it. Yes. This whole porpoising thing is just... It's like that amazing meme of the the guy cycling and then putting a stick in his front wheel.
Oh my
and then
God,
saying,
that is the perfect analogy.
That's the perfect, yeah. That's the perfect analogy. Just a meme. But yeah, it's that's what I'm thinking. You know, Mercedes are complaining over and over. Lewis is complaining. And we actually put a video out around, you know, how F1 teams may be using these porpoising problems. You know, they're moaning to try and gain an advantage, because at the end of the day, it's how they set up the car. Like, that is literally, like, the ride height of the car is what causes this porpoising. The lower you ride it, especially if you suffer with porpoising, the more aggressive it's going to be. Now, Hamilton's obviously trying different things to try and make his car work as best as possible, but he is like, they are the Mercedes are the one that makes the car. Like, they can tune it out. And Baku is probably an isolated incident as well, in the sense of it's a track that's quite naturally bumpy anyway, and you've got hugely long straights. They're going so fast and they're bumping along down the straight. There wasn't that same kind of chat around some more smoother track surfaces, because they don't, you don't suffer with it as much. So Christian Horner actually quite funnily came out and said, you know, it just feels like, you know, team principals are telling your drivers to go and make a fuss this weekend to see if they can get anything changed. But surely the FIA are just going to turn around and go, well, you change it. Why do we have to change it and put like a minimum ride height in or something? Because that will just bring back Red Bull and, I mean, Ferrari suffer with porpoising, but they're just like, yeah, peace, we're winning or nearly winning or DNFing. But, you know, they're still at the front, they're porpoising, but you don't hear as much, although science has said a little bit around the long-term effects. But it just wouldn't be fair, because it's not a health and safety issue in the fact that every car is suffering with it and they don't have a solution. There are solutions. Stop moaning and change the car.
They literally have a solution. Yeah, like you say, they can. They go into qualifying. They can't. You can't have Toto and all of Mercedes going like, this is so ridiculous. Now something needs to be changed. When, like you say, they're the ones that can change it. They're the ones that are putting that own drivers in danger, essentially. To, you know, they can't say, oh, this could cause like brain injuries and things like that. They can't say stuff like that and then essentially let Lewis Hamilton go into a race and have the car set up in that way that's going to do that for the whole race and go, oh, we'll just complain about it afterwards. They could literally, but that's it. Formula One teams don't want to sacrifice time, and you can understand why. So I do kind of see why they want to step in, because the problem is Formula One teams will always just do anything they can. They'd even if like there it was a quick way. The F duct is a great example, right? If anyone remembers that, where you used to drivers used to hold their hand in front of something to block the airflow, and it would give them an advantage. And people were like, that is crazy that you're going one-handed around corners. And Formula One teams are just like, well, I don't care. Until you make it a safety issue, it makes us quicker, so we don't care. And Formula One teams are going to sacrifice the safety, even of their own drivers, until the FIA basically say, no, you have to do something about this now. So They're not gonna sacrifice pace for some bouncing, even though it's got to the point where there's talk of Lewis Hamilton not even doing the next race. I know you said now that that's not going to be the case, but they can't have that whole media narrative of that when they can sort it themselves. And oh, you're just going to have to finish eighth then instead of fifth. Boo hoo! But don't you know what I mean? Like, it's your problem. It's their problem. So
it's very true. Yeah. It's it's Frank. I can hear Frank's little tippy tappy of his feet. Bring him in.
Come on, Frank.
Here
he
comes.
Your hot take.
Come on, Frank.
You're an efficient.
Yeah. Whilst we get Frank in, let's move to a question from Team WTF member Wexy. Since science has talked about lasting physical effects for drivers regarding porpoising, and now Lewis Hamilton was in such pain during Baku weekend, do you think the FIA would do something to the car regulations? What would it be? I think we've kind of covered that just by going on a bit of a rant. I'm going to go with a solid no. Katie? No, Tommy?
Katie needs a rant.
Katie, whatever.
I'll go quickly and then Katie can have her rant, because I know you're saving something up. So a lot
bubbling,
of energy.
Bubbling away.
She's had a week off. She's been planning this.
Oh, God, yeah. Anything with the FIA, she's like,
no,
right.
No.
I would just add to that that
look, a little
there are talks of the fact that they could do something potentially where they monitor the bouncing. I think you said it in the Twitch, BPM.
BPM
bounces per minute or something, and then if they if they do reach that certain threshold, then they either get a penalty or, you know, they're forced to raise the ride height because it's too much. So
yeah, I guess there could be something like, you know, how the floor, it was introduced where they could only wear away a certain amount of the car's floor. It could be something like that, but for
they can people, monitor PPM, these things.
Porpoising per minute, whatever you want.
But yeah, maybe that is the solution. But the main thing is it's not fair to penalise the teams that right. don't have the issue. They've got it right. And,
I agree.
You know, I'm sure, in fact, I'll just say it now, that the big argument was for 8 years was that, oh, you can't have a go at Mercedes for getting the rules right. And how the turntables again now, you know, everyone, they're the ones complaining, saying we need to change the rules. When they were miles ahead and all fans were complaining that it was boring, the argument was always, well, you can't have a go at Mercedes for essentially building the best car, which is correct. And now this is correct.
Yeah, very much so. I haven't really got much of an FIA rant. Oh. I know, I'm really sorry. And plus seeing Frank, like any kind of pent-up anger just disperses because Frank's so cute.
Look at
so
him. Audio listeners, he looks very cute right now.
He does. Get Frank a onesie as well.
God, no.
No.
We don't need any more curses.
We don't. It's certainly going to be a balancing act, though, for the FIA because they have got the technical side of things because short answer is, some people have figured out how to make cars that don't have the porpoising. Obviously, Red Bull are one that have seemed to be doing quite okay from it. As we said, Alfa Romeo, okay. Alpine have said they can more or less turn it off. McLaren has it to a small extent. Alfa Tauri seems to be okay. Amos, which is a German publication, have also said that Williams probably have too little downforce for it to be an issue, which is sort of a backhanded compliment, but or not backhanded.
No, there's no compliment there.
No, just backhanded. Sorry, I didn't mean compliment at the end, just backhanded. But yeah, I mean, the race, our sister publication, have said that they kind of understand that the FIA have put some proposals in, but it's not received a majority support when raised in a technical advisory committee meeting. That sounds really fun. So, yeah, I think as harsh as it is, why bring in a rule that's going to penalise the people that got it right when, like you say, you just have to sacrifice some performance and Mr. George Russell can't be finishing top five every time. Sorry, the record might have to be broken if they can't get it right, because like you say, you know, George Russell's saying he can't see his braking points because he's bouncing so much. Hamilton's, you know, looking like a 98-year-old man getting out of a bathtub in the way he was getting out of his Mercedes on Sunday. Like, it's obviously not nice to see drivers bouncing around in their cars. Crofty and co like to make jokes about how they look like they're listening to rock music in their cockpits, but at the end of the day, it's not natural to see an F1 driver looking like a bobblehead in their car, especially in the modern era of Formula One. And when you've got drivers saying that there could be potential long-term effects from this, then that's obviously not going to reflect too greatly on the FIA. So they're going to have to step in, but I would really be disappointed in them if they limited what is technical decisions and advancements, because, you know, some people know how to make it work and others are just refusing to do anything to make it better, but slowing the cars down. I said I wasn't going to do an FIA rant and here I am 10 minutes later.
Off.
So yeah, I have, sorry.
FIA triggered something in you.
Yeah.
I saw a very brave, particularly because it was on Twitter, a very brave tweet from Nate Saunders, who's a journalist, who basically mentioned that, kind of like in any other sport, it would almost go without saying that essentially, like, you know, Hamilton is an unbelievable athlete. You just need to look at pictures on his Instagram to know that. But he is 37 and George Russell is 24. And however fit and amazing Hamilton is, when you're older, you know, these things can affect you more. We saw what COVID, you know, like how COVID affected Hamilton. And, you know, it's not questioning the fact that, you know, his fitness is unbelievable, but the fact is
it's science.
It's science. And maybe it is just a case. I know there's all these theories, and I don't know how true they are, so I can't comment on them about Hamilton running extreme setups and weird
things. He said he had an experimental part on his car this weekend.
Okay, so they have confirmed it. Okay, interesting. Again, it comes down to the fact that Mercedes are putting Lewis through that at the end of the day themselves.
Was the experimental part a trampoline?
Yeah.
Pogo stick.
Yeah.
I do think it would be a lot. It is an extreme circuit as well, Baku, that enormous straight. But then maybe it would die down and then we get back to Monza and it would appear again. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah,
Canada's not going to be fun either.
No, it's quite a long straight there, isn't it?
Back to the BPM bounces per minute. I think that would be quite that'd be quite difficult to implement anyway, I think, because obviously Ferrari bounce a lot, but they're like, it might be a soft bounce, you know, like it might not be as an aggressive of a bounce as Hamilton. But yeah, I think I said in Best Reactions as well about Hamilton. I said he's not a whippersnapper like George Russell, who said it, to be fair, he did come out, George, and say that it hurt, and you know, he was glad the race was over after bouncing around for an hour and a half. But yeah, he's Hamilton's getting on, you know, we can't deny it. It's literally his age. Next question, which is referring to Hamilton, Brentsky_15. Do you still think that Toto needs to keep apologizing to Hamilton? I mean, Russell is able to get a S box into the top five every race this season. If he needs to apologize to Hamilton, he'll apologize to Hamilton. Like, you know, you got to manage your drivers one way or another. And if that helps Lewis to, you know, keep a level head and whatever, then so be it. You know, Hamilton is used to a certain level of success with Mercedes. This isn't it now, and it's very different. And I don't think it's that big of a deal that Toto apologizes to Lewis, in my opinion. Like, it's just a team radio at the end of a race. And, you know, Lewis is obviously going to be very frustrated and obviously in a lot of pain as well after this particular race. So from a human perspective, I don't have any problem, or I don't think there's anything wrong with him doing that.
No, I think Toto's worked with Lewis long enough. He knows what to do, what to say to comfort him, which made him such a good manager and why Mercedes was so successful, because he's very much a people person. So I'm sure that's absolutely fine. But one thing I will say is I don't think the sponsors are going to be too happy with Toto Wolff referring to the car as a bleep box on the radio. It's not really, like, each week it's just got progressively worse, whether it's like, oh, it's a diva to handle, blah, blah, blah. And now he's just straight up calling it a bleep box, which is not great.
You're kind of praising Toto for his management and stuff. I actually have a different take and think it's pretty poor form, that radio, because thing is, right, if you work at Mercedes, do you really need to hear that on the radio, them calling the car terrible? Like, you've been working on that all winter, probably, you know, really long, painful hours. You're trying your best. And Toto's on the radio going, yeah, car's awful, isn't it? Sorry, Lewis, we'll get it. We're trying to get it sorted for you. It's terrible, though. This car's awful. Like, I think it's just maybe a better way of words of just saying, we'll talk about it. We'll try and fix it. The team are working really hard, not the car sucks. And sort of like announcing that to the world. I know he doesn't choose what goes out to the world feed, but at the end of the day, he said that it's gone over the world feed. I'd feel pretty demoralized if I was a Mercedes employee, but there you go. I'm not, so.
F1 is a savage world, though. We've seen some behind the scenes stuff in Drive to Survive in particular, and Gunter Steiner's management of certain people in the Formula One team a few seasons ago. But no, I agree. If, you know, you're watching any, I suppose, you can also see the frustration is starting to seep through now, where Toto has apologized before and used better words. And now he's just like, oh, for God's sake, you know, this is an S box. But,
well, this is going to be a big test of his management, because we can applaud his brilliance when situations were going well, when they had the car to just wipe the floor with everyone for 7 years. Now let's see how it gets handled. It's going to be very interesting.
Very interesting. Toto's decided to manage Hamilton's emotions over the entirety of his factory's emotions there.
I think that's kind of what I was leading to.
Yeah, fair. Dragonslayer_9. Horner has said that Red Bull will let Checo and Max fight. without team orders. However, they said no fighting to Checo, which is quite obviously a team order to let him pass. Do you think Horner was telling the truth, or will this continue all season? I mean, I don't think it's as strict of a team order as let Max through. It still is a team order, but it's a case of, obviously they were on the same strategy, but Max was quicker. And I can understand as a team, as much as it's frustrating as a fan, and I will always let my emotions out. And I think a lot of people will go, and oh, I just wanted to see an on-track battle. From a team perspective, if Max is quicker, you just go no fighting. And that's fair enough. I can understand why they do that, as much as it is disappointing to see from a fan perspective. But Checo was a lot slower. Like he dropped off the back of Max very quickly and then was in the pits. And then obviously had that slow pit stop as well, which people put their tinfoil hats on about, to thinking that they'd slowed down his pit stop despite Red Bull nearly losing out to Russell. So why would they have done that?
Yeah.
So yeah, it is unfortunately what it is at the moment. If Checo was quicker, I don't think they would have probably done that.
No, because he wouldn't. If Max had stayed 2 seconds, like maybe he might have done, but Checo hurt his tyres, which they have said it's unusual for Checo to do that because he's normally the tyre king, if you like. But the fact is Max closed in, and that then puts pressure on the team to go, we need to sort something out. And if Max is going to go for a move, the most sensible option, however unpopular, because it's for the win and fans want to see it, especially when Leclerc's out the race, is to let them go. But Max is obviously... Was Leclerc at the race at that point? I'm trying to remember. It's all a bit of a blur.
Yes, he was, I think.
He was at the race. Okay.
I think he was, yeah.
The fact that Max is... Again, they're not going to throw away loads of points when their main rival's out of the race. And you could argue, however much... In the previous questions where we've gone, oh, Ferrari throwing it away and all the failures, Leclerc could have easily won 3 from 3. So why hinder your own team? Because we know Ferrari are fast. And if they do, Leclerc wasn't out of the race. Okay, so they're racing Leclerc. So of course they're going to want the quicker driver that can beat Leclerc to be ahead. And if he's caught up, then it's fair enough, even if it's not really what we want to see. You want to see him battle, but I'm sure 2018 Baku is in the back of their mind because they crashed then and they fought and they lost everything. And now this is even more extreme because they do have a championship to win and on the line, and they want to maximize the points. And when Leclerc is still in the race, they can't have Checo holding up Max when he can go up that much quicker, because at the end of the day, he won by 20 seconds. So it wasn't exactly close, was it?
A lot of people then say that Max Verstappen wasn't abiding by particular lap time targets and things like that. So I wouldn't say 20 seconds is probably a representative time between the two of them, but you pop off Max Verstappen.
Tommy's going to fight. Yeah.
Get the cape out. Come on. Let's see what it's got. Adding that layer of Leclerc still being in the race makes perfect sense as to why they'd say no fighting, because every single tenth counted in that particular fight because Leclerc was quick on those fresh, hard tyres. Cool. Katie, you got anything to add?
Just going to say that Horner's made himself look a bit silly by saying it's not a team order when it very clearly was a team order.
Yeah.
But I don't know. As a Checo fan, obviously, I don't want to sit here and be like, every single time they're going to prioritise Max, because... Well, they probably will do, but I'd like to think that they'll maybe evaluate each race and situation independently. But yeah. I mean, this week, like leading up to Baku and after Monaco, you know, there have been so many articles about how Checo is a championship contender now and all this kind of stuff. And I'm sure that has probably also been bubbling away. And like the guys within Red Bull are going to be aware of that too, right? Verstappen and Checo are going to be thinking, well, we're both... could be in for a championship fight here. And Red Bull, like Horner and the pit team, or what are they called, on the pit wall team, will be thinking about it.
The pit team.
I think maybe by putting his foot down and saying no fighting, no, that
great Horner impression.
I don't know why I sounded made him sound.
It wasn't a Horner that came over the radio, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was Czech
engineer.
It was
his race engineer.
Oh, yeah.
What the thing is with that thing as well. I'm not saying I agree with Christian Horner before everyone jumps on that, because it was a team order. It definitely was a team order, just for clarification. But it was a team order. But basically, if Max was 2 seconds behind, 3 seconds behind, something like that, when the racing resumed and he caught him up, and then they said no fighting because they clearly knew Max was quicker and going to go for a move and pass, and they didn't want him to crash. Had Max been 3 seconds back for the whole race and couldn't get anywhere near him, in my opinion, they're not telling Checo to slow down, lose 3 seconds and let him through. It's they're managing the situation rather than basically shafting Checo.
Yeah. Not to say that Sergio hasn't been shafted a little bit in previous races, Spain probably being one good example of that. But yeah, no, fair. Well done, Max. Fan. Boy.
Yeah.
Next question. And moving away from Red Bull now. Team WTF1 member Grubbly. Should Ricciardo be encouraged or discouraged after today? Take some encouragement, Danny Rick. You know, you're back in the points. He's only scored twice this season, which is quite...
That's mental. When Lawrence Barreto told him that in the media pen, he was like, no. It's like, yes, that is true. Yeah. He was so
was
shocked.
Was he deleting his memories or something?
Yeah, that's why everyone's talking about my truck.
No, take some encouragement, Danny Rick. You know, he was a little bit lucky with the timing of the VSC, I think. But then, you know, he had to sit behind Lando, and McLaren were very obviously favouring Lando in that race, which I can understand. Lando has been 95% of the races quicker than Danny Rick over the course of their teammate partnership. But, I mean, encouraged with his own performance, yes. Maybe slightly discouraged with the way McLaren tried to just fully favour Lando. The one bit that really got to me was when Danny Rick was clearly quicker than Lando, who was about to come in for a pit stop, and they told him to hold station because they're trying to overcut Alonso. The pit stop then happened. Lando came out in 17th and Alonso was like 12th. And you're just thinking, well, you've just hindered Danny Rick, who looks a lot quicker. He doesn't have the straight line speed really to do anything about Lando at that stage. I know they're obviously both in the same car, but they just were pretty slow in a straight line. And then Danny Rick got eaten up by Gasly almost immediately after being held up by Lando. So I don't know. I felt like maybe Danny Rick would have a few things to say in their briefing after the race. But it was a better performance from him. Who knows how far behind he would have been from Lando if it had just been a normal race where neither of them have been held up. But I'm also glad that McLaren repaid the favour at the end of the race and allowed Danny Rick to stay ahead of him.
Yeah, very much. I mean, I'm going to be maybe quite harsh here because it was still an okay qualifying result in comparison to previous races, but I was still slightly disappointed with his qualifying and the fact that he didn't out-qualify Norris, because I thought that he might have looked a bit quicker, and with Norris and the whole Hamilton drama, I was like, you know, this is your chance to get ahead, and he didn't, so that's a shame. But yeah, I feel like McLaren mugged him off quite early in the race. He said post-race that his tyres lasted a lap or two before dropping off, which is why he couldn't really quite catch Alonso, and Norris was creeping up. Perhaps they kept him in front of Lando for a motivation boost. Maybe they didn't want to risk a clash. I don't know. But yeah, certainly not great in terms of team orders. And also, this isn't the first time it's happened. Like, think back to Australia when Norris had a literal issue and they were like, you can't pass him. And he was like, but why? What if he clonks out in front of me? They're like, well, you can pass him then if he's going to just stop in front of you.
Australia, wasn't it? I think.
Well, did I say Austria?
No. I didn't actually.
Oh, sorry.
No, sorry.
In Australia, exactly, in front of his home crowd. Like, give him something. But yes, we'll have to wait and see. But I mean, at least he's ready for it. Baku in the points. Hey! That was so terrible. I'm going to see myself out.
Thank you, Katie. That was great.
Yeah, a lot of people wanted, obviously, Danny Rick to get through as the faster car. It's funny how we've just had the Red Bull question and we're like, oh, it's a shame that the faster car got let through. And then this one, we're like, they should let the faster car through. But it is the sensible decision to do that. But the fact that they did screw Danny Rick. So to say that he's encouraged the fact that he was on more Lando's pace, be a little discouraged by the fact that maybe they showed their probably starting to favour Lando more, which you can understand because at the end of the day, he's been the quicker driver all season. So that will probably be in his mind a little bit. You know, he did move to that team to try and be team leader and build something, and it's certainly not gone that way. What's very interesting about the McLaren situation is how Lando Norris, we had a lot of comments on our Twitch stream about how he was behaving on the radio. And it is very interesting that it's very easy when you're not in the limelight or starting your career. Sebastian Vettel was a perfect example where, you know, you're this bantery, funny, haha, meme guy. And then as soon as, you know, it gets to a situation where you want to win and you have to throw, you know, it's not a popular, Formula One's not a popularity contest. You've got to be there for yourself and you want to win and you don't care about how it's perceived. You've got to do what you've got to do to win. And, you know, Lando basically saying like that he had the tactic before and now he's like, no, I want to overtake him. And he clearly could, he could have gone for a dive bomb there, I think, and done it, but probably thought better of it. So if they end up quite close to each other in a lot in the midfield, they're going to just keep ruining each other's races here. Cause I don't think that team result, they did not get the best team result there from that tactic at all. No, there's no way.
Okay, next question. At Deakins 8, how was the duct tape legal?
It's just F1 things, isn't it, really? If you get rid of the problem, doesn't really matter how you do it. That's essentially what the FIA... I don't really know. I'm not sure as to how the FIA have gone. Yeah, that's WH Smith grade duct tape you've got there. That'll do. And it wasn't even worth it because I didn't score any points anyway, did they? So, yes, a bit strange. But maybe there'll be a review coming into Canada as to what F1 teams are actually allowed to do when fixing problems. Because to be fair, Mercedes could have just stuck down Lewis Hamilton's headrest in Baku 2017 or something, or done something a lot quicker and less safe. But yeah,
they didn't,
interesting.
Had to change it. It is quite sketchy of a race of a track like Baku as well, where you're going 300 kph down a straight. You know, if that wing fails, that's horrendous. Like, that is awful. And when you're not even in the points and there's only a few handful of laps to go, you do kind of wonder what's the point. I was just gutted for Tsunoda, to be honest, because he's having a good race. But I guess the argument is that the DRS flap, it was when it was opened was the problem, and it was kind of only one of them opening, so they taped it down. But you still think tape on a rear wing is not... They do all these safety measures in Formula One, and then they let a car go out of the pit lane for 10 laps doing 300 kph down an enormous straight with a duct taped rear wing. Yeah, I can see why some people maybe are a little bit, is that really safe?
Very much so. We've actually seen it before, duct tape used on an F1 car in 2016, when Ferrari used duct tape to repair Kimi's car during a red flag after the crazy lap one incident. So yeah, it's a temporary solution, provided us with a load of memes, but I totally agree with, like, should that be allowed? Probably not. Like, as brutal as it is, that probably, well, they got given the meatball flag or the black flag with an orange circle for like the actual proper term, but everybody calls it a meatball flag. But that probably was like a retire the car kind of moment rather than stick it down with tape and hope for the best. Next thing, like, in Canada, there'll be somebody with a bit of super glue, some WD-40, like somebody just whack something with a hammer, hope for the best. Like, I feel that's where this is going to be going. But yeah, it's, I mean, I guess if it worked, it worked. But certainly unusual thing to see on an F1 car is just a bit of duct tape.
Yeah, especially at such a place in the on the car as well. It's yeah. Very strange. At least it wasn't, yeah. I mean, oh, God forbid. Right, Tommy, can you play our next jingle, please?
I've definitely just been scrambling for the last 2 minutes trying to find one. Yeah, because I forgot. Okay, so I've got one from Will Broom in Melbourne, Australia. Hi guys, as soon as I heard the idea to make a jingle, this popped into my head. It's in the, this is a very long explanation. It's the key of G, which to most doesn't seem anything, but the chords are A, B, C, D, E, F, 1, or G. So I thought this jingle you'd appreciate, and you have you have full permission to play it on the podcast. I certainly hope so. I hope you'll be able to share it. Thanks in advance. Please let me know what you think. Will. Okay, here we go.
Play that again.
I like it.
It noise cancelled a tiny bit. Yeah. Easy, simple,
effective. I like it.
Clever.
It reminds me like of the Top of the Pops theme tune or something. I don't know. Maybe just quite rocky.
Yeah. Very boomery as well, saying Top of the Pops. Like, oh, that's
Top of the Pops.
Top of the Pops. Okay, well, welcome to ABCDF1, everybody. Let's dive straight into this then, shall we? Let's start with Lewis Hamilton, who ended up in P4. I'm going to go with an A, because he drove through all those problems and Mercedes put him in that car. And it may have been his choice as well, but it's a decent drive.
Yeah, I think A. There's some nice overtakes in there as well.
Gone for a B.
Of course you have. Knew it.
Such a hater. Clearly.
You are such a hater.
Yeah, it was a good drive, but it's qualified 7th.
He's racing a bleep box, Tommy.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, come on. Getting a bleep box to 4th is...
I guess he has confirmed the experimental flaw now. No, it's a high B.
Okay, well, yeah,
we don't do. Yeah, okay.
Katie? Okay, A for Hamilton. So jog on, Tommy. Right, and the fans gave Hamilton an A as well.
Oh, I am awful.
You are washed. George Russell. That's a very easy A.
On his own easy A star.
Sorry?
A star. What else could he have done?
Wow. No. A.
Okay. Same.
I think
as
he would have
Hamilton.
Finished P5.
25 seconds ahead of Hamilton. 25 seconds ahead of a 7-time Formula One world champion. And you're giving him the
Hamilton
same
was
grade.
Coming through a lot of the field. So I wouldn't say it's 25 seconds.
And why was
pure
that?
Pace.
Because he qualified low.
Yeah, and then he got brought out, didn't he, after the pit stop as well, when he got jumped by Vettel and things like that. I still think I don't think it's A star worthy, because without the DNFs, he's finishing 5th and we're not giving him an A star.
I'm having a real dilemma now. I'm questioning every decision in my life. I think I'm going to have to go. I don't think it's A star worthy, because we saved that for like phenomenal, crazy, like if he won, A star, even maybe P2. But yeah, I'll go with an A. But it's a higher A than Hamilton's. But I know that doesn't mean anything.
I know. It's an A.
This is where it gets annoying, isn't it? Where you want
B pluses. Like, why can't you have A pluses and A minuses? Why don't you just bring it in? It's like, well, that just gets very confusing then. And the fans gave Russell an A. So Tommy's washed again. Yeah. Right, Max Verstappen, A star.
Interesting. I've gone A. He got out-qualified by his teammate and don't know if he would have won because of Leclerc.
But he beat his teammate by 20 seconds, you said earlier in this podcast.
And I know. That's quite Sergio defeat. Perez is not getting an A.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Tommy's on one.
Yeah, A for Verstappen, in my opinion.
No, that's fine. ABCD. this is like the disagree ABCD. Yeah. I'm enjoying this. Katie looks like she's literally
I
know, you look like you just like don't know what to do now.
I don't. I'm really stressing out. I don't know what to say. I don't think it's A star. I think it's an A. But then I'm putting the same as everyone else. Everyone's just going to get an A. There you go. Blanket A's across the board.
I think it's a low A star, if there's anything to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So we're giving Verstappen an A and the fans gave him an A star. So... interesting.
Today I'm Tommy's a Verstappen hater. Such a Verstappen hater.
Sergio Perez. I'm going to give him an A. He did this an A performance. It's an A worthy performance.
Nice little start.
B.
Okay.
Are we giving him an A, Katie? Yeah?
I'll give him an A as well. Yeah. I'll literally give everyone A's.
Fans gave him an A, I'm sure.
I'm going to have to mute Tommy in a minute from the Team WTF1 live.
Kick him out.
It'll just be me and Katie doing WTF1. So we gave him an A, and Perez got an A from the fans. Charles Leclerc.
A.
A, yeah, it's going to be an A.
What more could he have done? He got pole.
Not lost the lead.
Not lost the lead at the start.
True. But, okay.
Can't give him a perfect.
No,
it might have been. He might have won the race, then it would have been an A star. But, alas, we do not know.
RIP, you said, not today.
Oh, wow, thanks, Casey. Really appreciate that. So, A for Leclerc and an A from the fans. Carlos Sainz.
Oh, difficult.
Oh God! I nearly said a grade, and then was I about to regret it?
Say it anyway.
A low C.
Whoa, a low C.
Yeah.
Oh crikey! I hit my Casey's camera. Sorry, rage quit.
Yeah.
Qualified fourth. Teammate on pole. I'm had no say C. pace. Even if he'd been in the race, he wasn't sticking to them, was he?
No, he was losing them, and it was going to get probably worse, I'd imagine. C.
Oh, no. I was going to go for a B.
You're allowed to disagree.
I'll go with a B.
Okay. So we give Sainz a C, and the fans gave Sainz a B. Oh, does it deserve a C? No, changing it to a B. Yay. No, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't seventh and trailing. So yeah, cool. B for Sainz, and the fans gave him a B. Lando Norris. B?
Yeah.
A low B, yeah.
Tommy's loving the low and highs today. I'm going to have to step in soon. You're allowed to.
I wish you could give minus, like B minus and stuff, but yeah, I think he's scraping a B.
Maybe it's so difficult
because like
it'll ruin a lot of the graphs that get made for us.
Can we do it from the start of 23 or something?
Or maybe we have to do it at
a score out of 100 or something.
Maybe it has to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Everyone has to send new jingles.
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
B for Norris from us and a B from the fans as well. Daniel Ricciardo, B.
B as
well.
Oh, yeah. B from us, B from the fans. Fernando Alonso. B.
Yeah, B. Maybe.
Yeah, I'll give him a B as well. But he was very naughty over the weekend. Lots of things he was doing to put himself in trouble. I think Tommy tweeted a picture of a toilet and said, "This is for Alonso," or something along those lines.
S house. Yeah,
people didn't get that I find it funny and were calling me British bias and stuff.
For God's sake, really?
Yeah.
No surprise there.
Standard stuff.
Just standard Twitter, isn't it? So yeah, B for Alonso and B from the fans. Esteban Ocon. C.
Was he even there this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, so
he's so anonymous. Well, that's nice, but I didn't see him all weekend.
Yeah.
I'll go for a C. Yeah, like, so as far as I know, he might not have been there.
Katie, Jesus.
Well, he did what to say that was amazing? Nothing.
I know. Well, yes, why are we giving him a C?
Yeah. But I want more from SD Bestie. Come on.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. But you were like, was he even there?
What's he doing with his life?
There?
Come on.
So C for Ocon and a C from the fans. Pierre Gasly, P5. That's an A.
Lovely job, star. Yeah. Ooh. Is that his highest result of the year so far? I should have looked this
way before the podcast.
It was better than he did in Monaco.
Is it an A star?
I'm giving him an A star. Go for it. Why not?
Okay, A star.
By miles. Before this is highest.
I qualified in Merck as well.
Okay, A star for Gasly. Fair play to you all. Thank you for that. So an A star from us and an A from the fans. Yuki Tsunoda, I'm going to give him an A.
I'm going to give him a D for duct tape. No, I'm not really. A, why not?
Tommy looked like he was shocked. Yeah. He was about to give him a B when he was running in like sixth, wasn't he, or something?
Or seventh, I think. Yeah, I think it's an A. It's a low A, high B. Yeah, I know.
Stop.
Sorry, fanboy. Yes, I'll just change my opinion.
A from us and a B from the fans. Sebastian Vettel, A. Star. No, A.
Star
no,
for
A.
The spin.
Star for the spin. No, literally.
Yeah, A. Yeah, A asterisk.
I can't work out whether I want to give him more points for going off and spinning.
We haven't really spoken about it. Some people were like, oh, we made a mistake. What's impressive about the spin turn? It's like, have you watched the spin turn?
It's very cool.
Did you watch Lando do a 20-point turn in practice?
It was just pure racing driver instinct.
It was like instant.
Bam. Gone. He lost probably about 6 seconds.
My only criticism is it would have actually been safer if it had just pulled straight out in front of the AlphaTauri than wait and hesitate, and then he got quite close.
That was dangerous.
Then he would have got an A star.
You would have given him an A star if he'd gone out in front of Yuki Tsunoda and caused a crash. Okay,
perfect. A for that.
Without the little mistake, it probably would have been an A star.
P6 in that.
Yeah, I'm giving it an A star. That's a great result. He managed to do one stop, didn't he? Like, managed to make those tyres last.
What was that word that you said? It sounded like you were going to say Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan! What
I said he did, I think, one stop or something. I don't know what I said. I need to go back and listen to it.
Azerbaijan! I was like, what? Okay. Anyway,
Esteban.
I was like, Esteban? Like, what? Anyway. Okay. A star, because it's an Aston Martin. I mean, fair play to him. A star for Vettel and an A from the fans. Lance Stroll. One of the worst qualifying performances we've ever seen.
Giving absolutely nothing in those post-race interviews.
Shock. Post-interview. When does he ever? Yeah. Let's be real. Yeah. And then DNF. So I'm going to give him a D.
Yeah, D.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay, D from us and D from the fans. Latifi.
Well done for finishing, babe.
Finished 15th. What a result out of the 15 runners.
Yeah. It's harsh that everyone blamed him for his incident at the start that wasn't his fault.
Yeah, that was
but then I guess he ignored blue flags again.
Yeah, I'm going to give Latifi a solid E.
Yeah, an E for Latifi.
He was 57 miles behind everyone else.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever seen a man lack more confidence than this man right now. Like, he was
sad.
Let's not forget, like, end of last year, he was out qualifying Russell and doing some decent things.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Now he's getting absolutely smashed.
That is unfortunate. Yeah, I think it's gonna have to be an E.
Yeah,
Latif E.
E. You're on something today, aren't you, Katie? E for Latifi and F from the fans. Alex Albon finished 12th. C.
B.
Is another driver that's just so anonymous.
Without all the DNFs, I think it's still a C, personally.
Yeah, I think it's a C.
It's difficult when his benchmark. I mean,
people behind him was Tsunoda.
Yeah, Tsunoda who pit.
Who had an issue. Schumacher was just slow all weekend. I think a snail could have looked back quicker than him. And Latifi, who was also the same. So, God.
Yeah.
God, this is a savage podcast today, huh?
I've been away for so long that I just need to get
Katie
all my
comes back.
Bad takes
Where
out.
Was Ocon? I didn't see him once. Mick Schumacher's a snail.
I mean, I'd say that was
Where
generous
are the
Mick Schumacher.
Oh, my God.
Albon, yeah. It's probably a high C, low B.
I'm going to slap you. You're doing this. You're just trying to wind me up, aren't you? Okay, C for Albon and a C from the fans. Valtteri Bottas. Yeah, a bit of a...
Quite anonymous,
an unknown one. Yeah. Finished 11th. I'm going to give him a C.
Yeah, C.
Yeah, C.
Cool. And the fans gave him a C as well. Guan Yu Zhou. He had just overtaken Bottas, hadn't he, when he DNF'd? And he was heartbroken. I think they were on slightly
Bottas
different,
as well.
Yeah, different strategies. I'm going to give him... I'm gonna give him an A because he was popping, you know.
I'm so I'm like so gutted for him because is that his third failure in four races?
Something ridiculous. Like
something
that.
Like that. He's having absolutely no luck and he's not having a chance to prove himself at all. So,
he gets
he put in a Yeah, I almost want to give him an A for that worldy top 10. Do you remember the Q1 lap where it was like fourth?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's crazy. Let's give him an A. A, yeah.
We don't base much on qualifying, but he did amazing in Q1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, A for Joe.
Just give him a confidence boost.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure he listens. And a B from the fans. K-Mag.
B.
He was on the outskirts of points, wasn't he? Yeah, I'm going to go with a B.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Going to be a good drive, but had a Ferrari power unit.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. Yeah, no, it was a bit unfair. Very unfair. So, yeah, C. B. I got thrown.
B from us and a C from the fans. Mick Schumacher, E.
E.
It's a low E, isn't it? God, he's so bad at the moment. It's such a shame. But
he doesn't even know he's doing it now, does he, Katie? He doesn't even know he's doing it.
Yeah, it's an E for Mick. We said it on the watch along, didn't we? We had that realization of how far behind he was when Magnussen was. And I will say it again. Mick's pace just shows that Mazepin must have been the worst Formula One driver in existence, because Mick absolutely annihilated him.
Yeah.
And Mick is not, has been,
he said, didn't
as
he
bad
this
as
week?
Latifi, if not maybe even worse.
He said, oh, I need another year to get to grips with this car. Cause I was like, babe, everyone's Mick in the
Schumacher
same boat as you, honey.
Like, yeah. Just
everyone is in the same boat.
Just give me a year. Give me a year. Give me a year.
Slingy Rook, you're gone.
It's funny because, savage, but true. It is funny that everyone said, like, they gave him that first year and went, no, this is his year. And then now he's been terrible. And everyone's going, no, this is his first
new
year.
New regs.
It's just Schumacher excuses. And I'm sure, yeah. Yeah.
Contract runs out at the end of this year. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's going
to
be
amazed if he does. If he stays, to be honest.
That's a whole different podcast of who they would bring in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, we'll
guys.
Save that. So E from us and a D from the fans. Let's now reflect on our Baku predictions. I went for Perez wins again. He did not. He was winning the race.
He won
at
our
one
hearts.
Point, though. So lap one. So I get 1/52th of a point.
52.
Second.
1/52nd. What number is that?
That's so weird. Another bad weekend for Mick Schumacher, and that is 100% a point.
And we all gave him like an E, so
I think that's fair. So one point for me. Katie, how's yours?
I said two red flags in qualifying, and I think it was only one. That's a shame. And I said science win. So that's great.
Science won our hearts.
Literally.
And I won. I got for Leclerc win, so no. So we all went for everyone winning apart from Verstappen. And then I went for no crashes at the castle section all weekend.
Are we including just Formula One or are we including F2?
You didn't specify it. You said no crashes.
Oh, sorry.
I
forgot. We always do our Porsche Supercup predictions.
No, just Formula Two, actually.
So you're telling me that there's a later fan prediction, which is a surprise winner. So is that if,
then it's Helga.
if someone wins the Porsche Supercup, we're like, oh, absolutely. Yes, actually. I'll start claiming some of them later in the season.
Okay, well done for the point, Tommy. Congratulations, even though it's not technically true. Fans, Rasmus Dopp.
F1. Leclerc wins the F1 race.
Well, it could be Arthur.
Fans, Rasmusstoff, one of the Red Bull cars break down a DNF. Nope. The Panchand, Daniel finally outperforms Norris.
Yes.
Outperformed.
Half a point. He's gone. They've gone very different. Half a point because technically probably wasn't outperforming him in terms of pace. Mega versus Primus. Yeah. Sorry. Katie.
No, I'm just trying to think of a way around it. But yeah, I think half a point's fair.
Yeah. Mega versus Primus, a surprising winner. Well, technically, Verstappen's never actually won in Baku. So is that a surprising winner? No, sorry. Yeah. 7 points.
No one saw Leclerc getting pole and Verstappen winning coming.
Well, we didn't. None of us predicted
it. Deja vu.
I did in the main one.
Leclerc win. You sacrificed a point just so that he DNF'd. Your disgrace. Canada predictions. My two are Sebastian Vettel scores points again and Leclerc win.
Brave.
Gonna have to. I have to just go all my eggs in one basket now. Okay, come on. I can't. And actually, whilst we're speaking about jinxes and eggs and etc.,
eggs.
What are we speaking about? Eggs. Eggs.
Well, I said all eggs in one basket.
Oh, okay.
So if you follow us on TikTok, if you don't, go follow us. Leclerc has not won a race since I did that stupid dance with you, Katie.
Sorry.
Well, that you recorded for the Emilia Romagna Grand Prix, where I said, "Oh, excuse me." You were like, "Excuse me, what are you listening to?" And I was like, "What I'm going to hear this weekend." And it was the Italian national anthem. And he hasn't won since. That's quite
cursed.
That's quite.
We'll do. We're meeting up this week,
plot
so
twist,
we'll do a Verstappen one.
Yeah.
Got a meeting
on Thursday. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's do that. See if it works.
Let's do it. Let's go against the Grace onesie.
I was going to say, plot twist, it wasn't the Grace onesie. It was that all along, the TikTok.
Delete the TikTok immediately. Right. Tommy, what's yours? No, Katie, what's yours?
Mine is somebody crashes at the Wall of Champions, which, we'll have to wait and see. And then more drama for the Ferrari power units. I'm not saying names. I'm just going to say someone.
Come on.
At any point in the weekend.
Any point in the weekend for the rest of time.
Yes.
So, and are we specifying Formula One? Is there a tuk-tuk race there at some point?
It might
just
be.
Everyone.
Depends if it comes true or not. We'll have to
exactly. Got to be vague, you know.
Wait, have you finished?
Yeah.
Sorry, did you say more?
More drama for Ferrari power units.
Cool. Good.
No.
I've gone for Alonso top five in quali. And I've gone for this will be the first race that Russell is out of the top five in the race. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's got to end at some point.
Couple of
I'll let it slide. Yeah,
fans, Abishi 5321 1473. We might see a first time winner considering some drivers have got their first wins at Canada. Ix Grek, Leclerc pole position and not winning. Jog on.
Ouch.
Tell Tommy chose that.
Yeah, I was going to say Tommy.
To be fair, half the predictions were that. So
yeah, good.
I just put one of them in.
Because there was that incredible stat now that Verstappen has converted more Leclerc poles than Leclerc has converted to Leclerc poles. So that's quite the stat.
That is the most damning stat I think
horrific.
It
just shows that Leclerc really does drive an S-box and makes the most of it in qualifying.
It's just going to get to the point where would be doing quali watch alongs before I get a pole and just start crying instead of celebrating.
No, not another pole. Stop making the record worse. Thomas Phipps 12, Vettel top five. There you go. Well,
nice.
What a set of, well, that will actually work nicely with my prediction, Thomas. So hopefully it comes true. Right. That is it for the WTF1 podcast for the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. I got through the entire thing without crying, despite some of your poking and jabbing. Tommy, final thoughts?
Final thoughts. I'm looking forward to the Canadian Grand Prix.
No, that's
ages.
Mine!
I knew it would be Katie, so when
I'm
you said it was first.
I'm looking forward to the next rate.
No, just the fact that we've not been to Canada for ages. I like the Canadian
Grand
Prix. So, okay.
Okay, since 2019. Yeah, I love Canada. I think it's a great track.
I can't believe the last race there was the infamous Vettel switching the boards.
Yeah.
Katie thinks that we've just gone off air. She's just like,
No, I'm finding, I had a final thought. I'm trying to think of a good final thought. And
she's Googling,
something.
Can I have a Siri? Give me a final thought.
What's your final thought, Katie?
Do that. Say Siri, give me a final thought and see what it says.
Oh, no.
Let's keep it PC.
Siri. Hey, Siri, give me a final thought. It just says, I'm not sure I understand. Why is it not speaking?
Well, that's usually a lot of both of your brains whenever I ask you for a final thought.
So I do have a final thought, but I just need to figure it out.
No,
Hold on.
Is not how it works.
Oh,
copyright. You don't know. This is not how final thoughts work, Katie. You don't open up your blooming journal
I need to get it because it tells me more information about it. It's quite a cool final thought.
This is the longest final thoughts. Why did you keep playing music?
I wanted to crash. Right, so my final thought was in Baku this weekend, there was an all-women sector of marshals at one point in the track. And it says Baku has one of the highest number of female officials at the event. And this year is the first time an all-lady team is featured at the Grand Prix. They were decked out in pink overalls, like think Racing Point pink. in support of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So keep an eye out for them today at post 16.2.
Not today, and there's some really happened.
Sorry, I'm reading from
sorry, a final thought is there when you're just reading an Instagram caption.
It literally just that's someone else's thought.
I'm so sorry. Mine wasn't I'm happy for Canada. I mean,
yeah, because it was gonna be yours.
Yes, I know.
That was a lovely
that is a lovely
thing. It's a nice little
thingy-ma-jiggy. The TV director missed that though, because I didn't see them. If they're decked out in pink, it would have been nice to...
I guess we didn't really have any instance for them to run on track and maybe we needed something to happen on turn 16. But
one thing that was weird, sorry, was that at the end of the race, that just reminded me of something, that they were waving the Azerbaijan Grand Prix and we thought it was a blue flag for Danny Rick. Do you remember that? Because they were... Because they're just doing the bit at the end where they're like, yeah, but they're obviously still racing. And imagine if Danny Rick had gone, oh, blue flag. Oh, no.
Yeah, no! That would have been very strange. Cool. Well, Katie, let's talk about things like that during the podcast. That's not a final thought. That does not classify as a final thought.
Yeah, write that in the sheet next time.
Yeah, that's in the sheet.
That was a nice thing to end on.
Oh, no, it's a lovely thing to end on, but memorize it, okay? We don't need you popping up your music and jamming to some tunes. Well, it was lovely. So thank you, Katie, for sharing that. And thank you to Tommy for giving us the most just generic thing ever. My final thought is, Ferrari fans, my thoughts go out to you. And I hope that with it being race week again, we can move on very quickly to some more disappointment when we don't win again and Verstappen wins again. But yeah, hopefully that's now combated the Grace onesie and I've now anti-jinxed and all kinds of crazy stuff. Let's see. Tommy, you look like you're about to say something. You look like you were looking up something very interesting.
I was
you
just
can't
curious
look things
to
up
see...
for final thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. I was seeing if Ferrari have won much in Canada, just out of curiosity. But no, they have. So I was hoping to be like, well, they've not won there in ages, but no, they have. But I won in 2018 and deserved to win in 2019.
I really appreciate that. Thanks, Tommy. Well, it's been brilliant. This is probably the longest ending to a WCF podcast we've ever had. That's all thanks to Katie. And we will see you.
We've been demonetized as well for all the music she kept
playing. Oh, it played 2 seconds. It was Kate Bush running up that hill.
Yeah, the Stranger Things song.
Ah, interesting. I still need to finish that. Anyway, hashtag WTF1 podcast if you want to get involved in the discussion and join Team WTF1 if you want to watch this live. Team WTF1 have very much enjoyed all of this chaos. So thank you everybody for watching and listening. Give us 5 stars, great feedback, whatever you want to do on whatever platform you are watching on or listening on. And we'll see you, well, not long until we have the Canadian Grand Prix. So we'll see you there. Bye.
I'm looking forward to it. The Canadian Grand Prix.
Oh, Canada.
Why? I wonder why. Our hands are kind of in sync. That's quite cool.
Oh, my God. My camera's in sync. It's a miracle.
Oh, no, you had to ruin it. Bye.